Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
What's going on, guys? It's your boy Dylan at Thunder Chats here, coming to you on behalf of our sponsor, betonline.ag. Being this is a Believe podcast network, we've got to go to the one tried and true constant sponsor of BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info and odds. Find all the latest sports developments, including this week's odds for the Masters Championship and the start to the Major League Baseball season. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino and poker games. It's super easy to get started, so join today. Learn why everyone is saying BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on popular sports and games. BetOnline, where the game starts. I know I messed up, but I'm keeping it in. Hope you guys enjoy the pod. And welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Top of Thunder podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Hunzinger at Thunder Chats. And we got a quad pod today, ladies and gentlemen. We got my boys first. We got in Texas, Maddie Moles doing all kinds of gang signs with the number four. Maddie, how the heck are you, sir?
Man, I'm good. My frozen Negroni is halfway done. My DraftKings lineups for the Masters looking pretty good. I'm in like 30th place right now out of 315,000 entries. So naturally it's all going to get destroyed tomorrow, and yeah, I'm going to be crying myself to sleep because that's how golf goes for DFS. But man, we're almost done. We're almost there. We've almost finished the marathon, and I'm hoping that it ends well for the Thunder.
Man, that's like the top 0.1%, if I'm not mistaken with my mathematics here. No, you said 30. That's the top 0.01%.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, first place carrying it over two places, Dylan. Holy crap! Kentucky people could do that.
Dagmar,
first place. First place gets a million, gets over $1 million in that one. So I got a little work left to do. So.
Hey, be a friend, share with a friend, right? All right, anyways, you guys heard him talking. He couldn't keep his mouth shut until he got introduced. So we're going to the man, the myth, the legend, the man that is spitting in a spitter, making fun of Kentucky, the one, the only, Champagne Jerry.
Look at you plugging in the irony. I love it. You're just on one tonight, moving decimals and just hitting the jokes.
I'm in my bag. I'm deep in my bag like I'm looking for fries, bro.
I can tell, sir. I can tell. Finding that Sonic mint somewhere in there. I'm doing great, man. Doing great. Just got home. I don't know if you guys have these places around you, but it's called Hawaiian Bros. And it's like a spinoff of Hawaiian food. It's absolutely freaking amazing. Like, I want to go back right now because it was that good. So if you have a Hawaiian Bros in your area or in the OKC Metro, go visit the one in UConn. It's so good.
All right. There you go. Hey, no free ads, but Hawaiian Bros. That's what Jerry wants to do. Shaka Shaka Bro. So yeah. Last but not least, we got Alex Roy, Alexander, Alejandro, Alexi. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, man. Thank you for the try name that you gave me. So that all means the same thing.
Yes, sir, man. We got to give it to you in all formats.
Dylan's really in his bag today, man. He's really in his intellectual bag. He's like, he's throwing out names. He's, you know, he's moving decimals around. Yeah. He's got to start talking Latin on that ass.
I don't know what. You are definitely on one tonight, sir. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. Keep it up, sir.
Hey, I appreciate it. I'm setting the bar high from when we crash and burn in the middle of the podcast. So, so guys, like you said, you know, we're in the final stretch. We're in the home stretch of the regular season. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. It's been a drag. You know, we've had some fun times. We've had some bad times. But we're almost there. We got two games left. And before we get to those two games, we just do got to briefly mention – we just came off a back-to-back yesterday. Portland Trail Blazers, we lost, or we won. I guess we lost, you know, however you want to look at it. In the record books, we won 98-94 in just an odd game. Just a not fun game to watch, not a fun game to be a part of. And Jerry's laughing. So, Jerry, what do you got to say about this game, sir?
All right, so I'm going to blame this win on the kid that was sitting next to us. Because I was at this game. When I say this kid was having I think he probably busted some blood cells or some blood vessels in his eyes, because he was screaming so loud, like willing us to come back in that game. We were down, I think, what was the biggest deficit? 16, 18?
Yeah, somewhere up.
It was somewhere around.
It was there. Like 18.
Yeah, I think 19. It was. Okay, 19. Okay, I knew I was close. Anywho. Me, somebody was my Chad Chadamus on Twitter, was my plus one. He decided to come with me.
Chadamus 33.
Yeah. And then Zach Lowe, NBA, that's from up here. Yeah. His season tickets are literally right in front of mine. And we just found out like a couple weeks ago, because we've never sat at the same game before.
Formerly Thunder Heartland.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're all like, yeah, it's whatever, you know, we'll be all right. We're about to lose this game. And this kid over there screaming defense every single possession, freaking out on every single score. Whenever we took the lead, he literally started just doing like 20 or 30 pushups, just like fast as hell. Yeah, I don't know what was going on with this kid. It was the most random thing ever, but I'm blaming that on him.
He drops down, starts doing push-ups on the arena.
Because we didn't have anybody sitting above us, right? Like we're like four or five rows from the ceiling. So we didn't have anybody sitting behind us. So he like just hops back a row, you know, and it's all empty and he just starts hammering them out. Man. And it was the craziest game. That game on the inside of the arena probably had the most fun energy of any game I was at this season, like in the weirdest, most possible way, like that everybody was cheering just the whole time. Like it didn't stop. Everybody was just super engaged. We did like a 3-minute wave around the arena. Like 3-minute wave. Yeah. It went and just kept going and going and going. And it was just a nutty, nutty, nutty game. But it was definitely probably one of my most memorable. One, just because of the energy. And then two, because that kid just freaked the hell out the whole time. Like he got on camera, just blood vessels busting out of his neck. You know, his eyes bulging out. It was just awesome. It was just
he probably had a wager on betonline.ag.
what a plug.
Yeah.
Nice. You plug. Might have heard me talk about that before the pod started, guys. No, man. Yeah, it's funny you say it. Like, the good times were just rolling in the arena. Like, you know, the guy hit the half court shot for the $20,000. So that was awesome.
Yeah. No, no. And then the guy, I don't know if you guys get to see it on TV, but then the guy, so they bring out like this, it's a golf, you know, game where you putt from like the free throw line to the baseline. And if you make it, you win like a grab bag and stuff. Dude hit the putt. First putt I've seen hit all season too. So it was just like a magical night.
Something in the air tonight.
Yeah, it was nuts, man. Like, just the whole vibe was just badass in there.
Yeah.
So the fans are hoarding all the prizes, huh?
Is that a Jalen hoard?
Oh, Lord.
Plug.
Maybe a little.
Okay. I just had to make sure real quick.
Yeah. Before I make my point, I know Moles was talking about this before we fought it. Go ahead. Give Jalen Hoard his flowers, Moles.
I mean, anytime you get 20 and 20 in the NBA, like, that deserves some flowers, right? It doesn't matter who it's going against, really. 20 and 20 is a pretty phenomenal performance. And a lot of his stuff was putbacks from very tough angles, and it was very much effort. And the guy he played a great game, and he hit a three. So, like, good on him.
He's 3 of 8 since he's been called up.
Yeah, he hit two more against Utah.
So, I mean, maybe he gets the Moses treatment and other teams are like, oh snap, that guy went 20 and 20, 24 and 20 technically. So maybe he's trade bait. I don't know. Maybe he's sweetener for when we fall to the 8th pick in the draft.
Oh,
yeah. You know, bastard. You know, you're talking about, I'm not going to announce that part. You talk about, you know, giving him his flowers. I'll give him his flowers, but they're going to be dandelions because, you know, they're going to fade away. They're going to blow away in the distance because, like, you know, like you said, Moses Brown last year, same situation, you know, skeleton roster, putting up 20-20 games, getting the fan base excited, like, oh, they're still doing it. I still see Cleveland Cavalier accounts saying, what's Moses Brown's ceiling? You're looking at it. That's his ceiling. That's all he's going to do. He's going to put up bad stats against bad – or put up good stats against bad teams. He's going to be tall. He's going to take up space. He's going to – that's what he's going to do. Jalen Hoard, like, you know, he's a hard worker. I'm super happy for him. Like, you know, he got a big paycheck for, you know, coming in the NBA for, you know, the hardship contract. I think Andrew Schleck sent him down to dunk the other day. He got like 80 something thousand for that. So, like, that's like night and day from what his G League contract is. So that's awesome. But, like, you know, I just want to caution the fans, like, Jalen Hoard, probably not a part of the team's future. Now, like Mole said, maybe a team gets excited about that. I'm less optimistic about it because Jalen Hoard, unlike Moses Brown, isn't like a 7-foot big man. He's just, you know, he's kind of a wing size, but he plays more of a power forward. So, yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to go on a diatribe.
I just want to plug something. So if you want to go ahead and see what the players are making, you can go to OKC Topic. Thunder.wordpress.com, and there's a little spot that says player salaries. You can click on there, you can see what every player has made that's been on the Thunder roster.
Nice.
So how much money is Jalen Hoard making for his hardship class?
So this season, because remember we signed him earlier this season also to attend a hardship contract.
Yeah.
This season he's made $191,860. So $191,860.
There you go, Jalen. Get your bag and hoard it away.
There you go. But
all right. Well, hey, the good times started to roll against the Utah Jazz, and once we lost 137-101, they sat Donovan Mitchell. They sat Mike Conley. It didn't matter. Bogdanovich did what he does against us, scored 27. Rudy had 20 and 10, which was – you know, looked more impressive than Hoard's 20 and 20. But yeah, you know, we got back on track. We definitely needed that game to be a loss because going into that game, the Pacers were only one game behind us in the reverse standings. So had we lost that game, things could have got a little bit hairy. Do you guys have anything to say about the Utah Jazz game?
Yeah, what the hell has Rudy Gobert been doing in the game? Like, that whole lineup had me so confused. And then secondly, Coach Quinn looks like he's seen some things this year. Like, he does not look like the same dude that he did in the past. Like, he looks like a shell of himself right now. Hope you're doing well, Coach Quinn. thinking about you.
Don't love you, but hope you're doing well.
Yeah, hope you're doing well. But yeah, that, I just thought that was just like super weird that he had starters in the game, but whatever. Good loss, boys. Good loss. They fought hard though the whole time. I was really proud of that. And then Lindy Waters. Is there a Lindy Waters question?
Don't think so. No.
All right. So that's a good spot to plug him. He's too good to tank.
It really is.
Like, that's,
oh my gosh, that shot is so pretty.
Yeah,
so like, pretty.
And then it's crazy to me how, like, if you just look at this kid's journey and, you know, just sort of where he came from, some of the adversity that he ran into, you know, later in high school, his journey to Oklahoma State, you know, and then his journey coming into the league. I mean, he was playing for a semi-pro team out of Enid, Oklahoma. So, Maddie, you know where Enid's at, I'm sure. Being in that branch,
that's Vance, right? That's Vance Air Force Base, right?
Yeah, yep. Little tiny thing, but the kid is like just turning into like a fan favorite. Like in the arena, any shot that he made or even put up, everybody was like gasping and like awing and just cheering so loud with it. It scares me a little bit because I know Cone might cry about this. But Ty Jerome might not make it with, you know, the emergence of Lindy Waters. I think he's just a little bit more dimensional and he can do some different things. But yeah, Lindy Waters, I'm just happy he's on our team.
Go ahead, Alex.
No, I was just going to say, you know, just continuing on the Lindy Waters thing. So Dagnall, on the before the Portland game, he was talking, he was basically talking about just guys that he knows about already that don't need to play. So basically Poku, Trey Mann, even Maladon, even, you know, Wiggins. He's like, you know, we've seen everything that we need to see from these guys for the most part. And so, you know, whenever I ask him about playing guys, you know, these last three or four games, basically he basically said that those guys probably aren't going to be playing too much here in these last couple games because, you know, they've already evaluated everything they're going to evaluate on him. And he stressed particularly on Zeke Krejci and on Lindy Waters. He said Lindy Waters' shot is basically too good to ignore. And it's something that, you know, in the off season between him and Veet, you know, it's going to be like a second season for them because they really want to see what they have in these guys. And they really want to see, you know, how these guys can fit with the organization, with the team moving forward. And so, you know, he made it a point the question was about Krejci, but he made it a point to include Lindy Waters in that. So I think Lindy Waters will get a look next season also. He's already signed to a two-way deal for next season.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's definitely gonna get a look.
Yeah, and I saw somebody on Twitter talking about how, you know, famously in the Portland game, Lindy came in and hit two transition threes in like a span of 4 minutes and they pulled him immediately.
Sit your ass down.
Yeah, there was some people that was upset about that because, you know, he's quote unquote fighting for his NBA life. But that is important context. Alex just said that he is signed to a two-way contract even going into next season. So, yeah, and I do think there's potential for Lindy to stick around long-term. Like, you know, you look at, you know, Miami Heat, like, being able to, you know, pluck all these G League guys and, like, integrate them onto their roster. Like, Duncan Robinson came from their G League. Max Strus came from their G League. Even Gabe Vincent. Like, he's not a shooter, but, you know, he's another player that came up from their G League. So, you know.
Kendrick Nunn.
Was Kendrick Nunn in the G League too?
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, there's just another one, man. So, I mean, you know, there is a history of, like, you know, using your G League, like, you know, for your main roster. And as we've seen this year, like, what's going on, the OKC Blue is working. Like, whatever's happening there, like, it's working. Like, because
to our detriment.
Yeah, because half of the guys, like, the past few weeks have all played together on the Blue, and, you know, it shows with how they play together. So, you know, hopefully we'll be able to reap the benefits as opposed to the detriments here in the near future. But yeah, man, so I like Landy. I like Veet too. I like not just their ability on the floor, but their knowledge and intelligence and knowing where to be on the floor, specifically in the offensive end. And I think that they could potentially provide, you know, spacing for Shea and Giddy and the like. So yeah, I like Lindy. I like Pete. Boys, I don't want to linger on these games too much because they're kind of inconsequential in the long run, but I do just want to give a shout out to Thunder Legend, who makes the game so fun. One of the most unique games of all time. Captain Hook, Xavier Simpson.
Oh, the, God.
The guard that throws in the hook shot, like, bro, it's nobody's business.
I lost it whenever he made his first hook shot. Just absolutely freaked out. It's so much better in person. The video doesn't do it any justice. It's a work of art.
What is prettier? What's prettier, his hook or Waters' jump shot?
I mean,
Oh, well, I'm going to have to go with Waters. Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Waters just because he's an Oklahoma State boy.
I think Waters is more aesthetically pleasing, but the hook is a lot cooler.
Yeah. And it's serviceable.
I'm going to go with Waters. Like, I think, you know, Maddie, you alluded to this. Like, you know, is his jump shot one of the prettiest ones that we've had in Thunder history? You know, I think between him and Abrines and Paul George, they have, you know, beautiful looking, aesthetically pleasing jump shots. So,
yep.
So does Poker. Like,
I liken his jumper kind of like Ken Griffey Jr.'s swing. I'm talking about Waters here. Like, he's gonna be wearing a
backwards hat.
He can wear whatever he wants. Like, that thing just looks so effortless, and it's butter.
It does.
I can't wait to see Wendy Waters wear a snorkel the next game, just because Maddie Mull said he could. All right, boys. Well, hey, we got two more games left. They're against the two LA teams. They're both going to be in LA, and these teams, they
absolutely nothing to play for.
They have nothing to play for. That is important to note. But there's, like, I don't know, man. There's different storylines, because a lot of people are convinced that LeBron is going to play in the Lakers game to chase the scoring title. And I was talking with Moles before, you know, the pod started. If I'm in LeBron's camp and he is sitting down in these games before they were mathematically eliminated from the playoffs and the Spurs moved on to the 10 seed, like, clinched the 10 seed, and he was missing those games, and he's going to come back in a meaningless game against the tanking OKC so he can get the scoring title, I'm furious. Like, if I'm in LeBron's camp and he's trying to do that, because that makes him look like that validates every opinion every LeBron hater has, that it's more about him and his stats and his legacy than his team and his team success. So I would be shocked if LeBron play, I wouldn't be shocked, because, you know, there's a kernel of truth to what I just said, but I'm leaning towards he doesn't play. And if he doesn't play, I don't think Davis plays and the like. So what you got, Jerry?
Yeah, I was going to say that he was going to play the rest of the season until they got bumped out of the playoffs. Indefinitely. Like, that's why he's not going to play in this game and try to win that scoring title, because he has nothing to, you know what I mean? Like, oh yeah, I'm still in the race, I'm still going. He has nothing really going for him right now. This is just a robust year. You know, as Dylan cracks open a cold Dr. Pepper.
Got to for the culture.
Yeah. I just think I don't think he's playing. I don't think Anthony Davis is playing. The Lakers are smart, because they shut down Russell officially today, right?
Did they really? I missed that.
Well, I mean, he's sitting out this game. This game tonight.
Okay, it's the game tonight that he's sitting out. Okay. I didn't know if it was anything further, but either way, I'd be surprised if they really try to force those three guys to play.
But I'd be surprised if he plays anymore because, you know, if there's one person that they want to trade this offseason, it is Russell. If Russell, you know, tweaks a knee or an Achilles in these last two games.
Yep.
And for what it's worth, LeBron and Davis aren't playing tonight either, so it's likely they are shut down for the year.
Yeah.
We already know Russ is probably going to have to go get a scope like he does like every offseason, right? Mm-hmm. So
that's just maintenance.
You don't want to compound that. Yeah. You don't want to compound that potential.
But on the flip side, you have the Los Angeles Clippers who, again, as Alex said, don't have much to play for because their seeding is kind of locked in the Western Conference. But again, as I was talking to Moles, me and Moles got a lot of conversation going before you guys got on the pod.
I can tell. God, I'm a little jealous.
So Paul George has come back here recently. He's played four games so far. And Norm Powell was activated last game, and he played his first game too. So even though it's possible that, you know, they decide that, you know, our seed's locked up, let's sit these guys, keep them fresh. But playoffs are a lot about rhythm. Yeah, playoffs are a lot about rhythm. So I, like, you know, I wouldn't be shocked either way, but I could play devil's advocate. I could see the Clippers maybe at least playing Paul George, Norm Powell, like a quarter, maybe a half or something like that, just to, you know, try to keep them in rhythm, get them in rhythm going into the playoffs. So what do y'all think about that? What do y'all think about the Clippers matchup?
Yeah, you're probably right there. That's probably spot on. And then Kawhi's going to show up magically out of the rafters like Sting in the fourth
quarter. So I don't think so. I don't think.
Alex said no.
They will play because they play back-to-back. I think they play Saturday and Sunday. And then they have to hop on a plane and play on Tuesday in probably Minnesota, I believe, either Denver or Minnesota. And so if you're going to rest guys, the day to do that is, you know, either Saturday and Sunday, probably Sunday against the Thunder. So I would think instead of, you know, their main guys playing three games in four nights, I believe they're probably going to go ahead and probably rest that Thunder game and then play on Tuesday versus Denver or Minnesota.
Yep. I mean, like I said, I could see either way because, I mean, you know, Powell came back, like I said, last game, but Paul George is already playing, and they played the Suns without Chris Paul, Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, and only won by 4 points. And a lot of that was because of, you know, the rust that, you know, a lot of these guys showed. So I could see either way. It's the smart move is probably what you were saying, Alex, but who knows, man? Like, if the Clippers believe that, you know, Kawhi is going to be able to come back, like, during the playoffs, maybe not the play-in, but, like, if they make it to the first round or the second round or something like that and they can get Kawhi back and, like, they can have a fully healthy team, I don't know. Maybe they might think a little bit more unconventional. But, you know, we'll see. It's going to be interesting, you know, hopefully, even, you know, the skeleton crew that the Clippers and the Lakers are against the withering skeleton crew of the Thunder, that will still be able to eke out the losses because, as I said, it's going to be hard to catch the Pistons at the three spot. We're in the four right now, but the Pacers are right on our heels. And I think they're playing tonight and they have one more game as well.
No, they play Saturday and Sunday. They have a weird schedule. Okay. Like they play Tuesday and then I believe they play either Saturday and Sunday, or they play Friday and Sunday.
They play the Sixers at Sixers and Nets at Nets.
Yeah, they have a weird schedule.
Yeah.
So hopefully the Sixers, you know, have visions of, you know, maybe getting the one or two seed or whatever. So hopefully they play their, you know, hold on, I'm saying that wrong.
Yeah.
Screw that. Sit everybody.
Yeah.
Philadelphia, sit everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, they're within a half game back of the Celtics right now for the three.
There we go. Yeah. So they're gonna be playing everybody. That's what I meant to say. They're gonna be playing everybody. So that's guaranteed loss for Indiana right there. And then they play the Nets. Who the Nets are still kind of in contention for that you know, whether it is 7, 8, or 9, I believe they're,
there's
like a game or half a game.
Two games between a 7 and 10 seed.
So, you know, you can either be the home team on the 7-8, or you can be the home team on the 9-10, and if you lose that game, you're out. So,
so that just proves how important these losses are for the Thunder in these LA games. It's imperative. Like, we can't have another Poku 30-point performance in the final game of the season to beat the Clippers. It's just we can't have it.
Oh, it won't happen.
So, for reference, where Indiana sits right now with the fifth worst record, the pick odds have them with a 2.2% chance of getting the eighth pick. Their greatest percent chance is the sixth pick with 25.7, which is less than what OKC is, but it still gives them a further floor. So, like, we cannot fall to the next spot. Like, we can't. Dude, that's basically the wasted season.
That's what I think. Like the move to get rid of Sarr. Like, I don't think it had necessarily anything to do with Sarr. I think the fact that, you know, Sarr can go out there and put up a 20-15 game against mediocre talent pretty easily. You know, what we need to watch out for is Roby. Like, Roby has been eating these cats up too, man. And it's just like, yo, I don't need you. Like he came out in the – what game was it?
It was the Blazers game. He came out just
10 points just like the first 4 minutes of the game. Like, no, bro, that's not what we need you to do. Like, I'm going to need you to sit your ass down and just, you know, have a Gatorade and a smile and just sit there. like it's just like, you know, you put him out there against the Lakers C team and he's going to eat. He's going to feast. You put him out there against, you know, the Clippers without Paul George, without Reggie Jackson, without, you know, any of their starters, and he's going to feast. And it's like, that's not what we want. And so, you know, I don't care if we don't start a center. Just have five guards out there. Have Xavier Simpson be the center. I can give a damn. He's out there throwing hook shots.
Hook shots, baby. You know,
hell yeah. Just
Magic,
have him
Thunder
out there
Magic Johnson, baby.
Because I love Xavier Simpson because he can't hit shit from the perimeter. That guy, you give him a three-pointer and it's an automatic miss. So shoot all the shots, Xavier.
Got to clarify that because I read the column wrong. Indiana 0.6% chance to get pick 9, 8.7% chance to get pick 8, and then 26.7% chance to get pick 7. So, I mean, it still stands, but it's even more dire than what I said before.
Yeah. And I think that's important to address because, you know, a lot of Thunder fans specifically, like I'm not calling him out, you know, I'm just poking fun. Keenan, I forgot what his ad is.
Nittany Line 02.
Okay, yeah. So everybody knows Keenan on Thunder Twitter. So he always says, oh no, we lost the game. We're going to lose 0.2 percentage points. Like, you know, he's always like, you know, making fun of the percentage points. It's not about the percentage points. It's about how many more spots you can fall. And so right now with the Thunder at the 4 spot, the farthest we can fall is the 8th pick in the lottery. It's the lowest percentage. It's 2.2%. But again, it's not about percentage. It's about how far you can fall. If the Pacers were to pass this and we was to get to the 5 spot, the lowest we could fall is 9. And, you know, 8 and 9 both suck. But, like, the difference between 8 and 9 could be catastrophic. But on the flip side, you know, if a miracle were to happen, we was able to make it to the 3 spot, the farthest we could fall is 7. So when you're talking about, like, jockeying for these tanking positions at the end of the season, it's not about the percentage. Like, you know, the top 3 teams have the same percentage to get the number 1 pick. It drops down a little bit each spot. But it's talking about the farther you can fall down. So, you can get 1 to 5 at the top spot, 1 to 6 at the second spot, 1 to 7 in third, 1 to 8, and so on. So, you know, that's really what we're looking for. And right now, the farthest we can fall
is 8. Yeah, it's about mitigating the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
And yeah, you don't want to fall too far down because, you know, we've always had those drafts where like, oh, this guy fell. Okay. 2 spots before us. Oh, 1 spot before us. And then the team right before us grabbed them. You know, like
Booker.
Exactly. Like Booker, whenever we had, you know, can't we had the draft campaign, you know, like you know, there's other scenarios like that. And it's just like, you want to get as high as possible because the Thunder know who they want to draft and they have contingency plans in place. But why not just go ahead and hope that you can get as high as possible so you can go ahead and grab the guy that you want and not have to use any of those assets, not have to use any of those contingencies to go ahead, not have to trade Dort to get, you know, to move up to where you want to go. So
what the hell? Where did Dort come into this? What are you talking about right now? Y'all chill out. It's not even the right year. Like, chill out. Another podcast. Yeah, just wait. That's next year, guys. Chill.
But hey, like I said, right now the fall is week as far as fall is eight. So transitioning into our next topic, guys, it's time. You know, we're nearing, like I said, we're nearing the end of the season. We got two games left. Up next, the next big event's the draft lottery, and then the draft will be here before we know it. We're about to dive deep into our draft coverage. Been talking to our guys at No Ceiling, Hoop Intellect. Like, we're about to just, like, you know, slam you guys with draft coverage. But first, we got to come at you with our big board. So, as I said, the furthest week of fall is eight. So, we're going to do 1 through 8, kind of like we did last year whenever we did our big board. But since we do have the Clippers pick, which is currently 15, we're also each going to throw out a prospect that we would like, you know, that's projected around that range. So, gosh, for this big board, I'm just going to say number one, and we can all just kind of go around the board and say who we have at number one. And, you know, the top, it's kind of self-explanatory. You know, if we start to differ a little bit in the middle, we can explain a little bit. But, you know, let's try to rip through this as quick as we can, because we did ask for Twitter questions, and you guys, as you do, you showed up and showed out. We got a lot of Twitter questions to get to. So, if you guys are ready, let's jump in.
Let's go.
Right after a word from our sponsors. Assuming we have a mid-roll this week, Alex?
We don't.
All right. Well, hey. And we're back.
We don't.
Hey, Moles, we're
taking Hey, leave that in there, dog. Leave that in there.
This podcast is sponsored by Dr. Pepper. They're not paying us. They just give me the fuel to keep going.
Yes. Oh, gosh.
All right. So, our big board, gentlemen, the Top of Thunder big board version point. No, not point. Wow. I lost my decimals already. I told you halfway through the pod, crash and burn. Version 1.0. So, my number one prospect, I announced this before the tournament started, to much controversy. And, you know, we're going to talk about it here. So, my number one prospect, Jabari Smith Jr. Jerry, who's your number one?
Paolo.
Paolo Banchero, Matty Moles.
Chet Holmgren still.
Chet Holmgren. We got three different answers. Does Alex go Jaden Ivey?
He does not. Chet Holmgren.
Chet Holmgren. Oh, we got two for Chet. Okay. Going to the second prospect. I've got Paolo Banchero there. So, Jerry, who do you have for your two prospect?
Chet.
Okay. Moles, what about you?
Jabari Smith.
Jabari Smith Jr. Alex?
Jabari Smith.
All right. So, we got a lot of Chet and we got a lot of Jabari so far. I think, yeah, so me and Jerry are the only people to say Paolo so far. So, I think he's going to show up here at three. But first, I'm going to go ahead and say I got Chet Holmgren number three. So, Jerry, who you got for three?
I got Jabari there.
All right. Yep. And Moles?
Paolo.
All right. And Alex?
Paolo Banchero.
All right. So it's pretty consistent. You know, we've all got different orders. I think we all literally have different orders. Well, except for Maddie and Alex, they're like in lockstep on that. But the top three all year has been Jabari, Paolo, and Chet. Jaden Ivey tried to make a run at it, but he didn't quite make it. So that is important to state. And moving on to the number four spot, I got Jaden Ivey. Jerry, who you got?
Jaden.
Moles,
Jaden,
and Alex.
So,
I'm doing
this big board based off of the Thunder,
mm-hmm.
And their needs. And so, number four on my big board is AJ Griffin.
Okay, so let's talk about that and like your need, because you know we talk about the different philosophies and draft for fit or best player available, and you know. Like us three, our big board, we have Ivy at four. So if we was at the four spot, those three were gone, we feel comfortable taking Ivy. Not necessarily because of fit, because, you know, he's the best player available. I've seen a lot of Thunder fans have discourse on this. Like, my thinking on this, Jaden Ivey is a big enough name, a guy that has enough talent that you draft him, you see how he fits. You know, best case scenario, you're able to play him, Giddy, and Shea together, and it works magically. Worst case scenario, it doesn't work. And guess what? Jaden Ivey's still a big name. He's still a guy that a lot of teams would covet. And, like, this is kind of like a fan cash dream for me. But, like, you mess up in the lottery, you get number four spot, you draft Jaden Ivey, he doesn't work out. You're able to package Jaden Ivey and future first to move up in the draft to get Wimby the next year. I'm just saying, it's a possibility. It's something that's possible. So that's my thinking there. But, Alex, you're talking fit, man. You got AJ Griffin, number four. Why you got him there?
I just think he's a much better shooter than Jaden Ivey off the catch. Mm-hmm. And I mean, as far as defensively, you know, he's a better defensive wing than is Ivey. And so, you know, I think we already have, you know, we already have SGA, we already have Giddy. And so I think what you need is you need a shooter. You don't need another slasher. You don't need somebody that can occupy the same space that SGA does, and that Giddy does to a certain extent. And so you need somebody that could probably stay out there more and affect the game more from the outside. And so I think that's Griffin.
Yep. And I mean, you know, I'll just go and say I had AJ Griffin my number five. I don't know where Jerry and Moles had him, but, like, you know, we're not far in thinking there. I just think Ivy, his ceiling, like, is a legitimate, like, all-star, like, star player in this league if he, you know, puts together and achieves what he needs to achieve. AJ Griffin, like, yeah, he has that potential, but he also has the injury risks. Going back to his high school days, like, he's yeah, notoriously hurt. And he also does the splits anytime he sets up for a shot. So just got to know that.
It goes in, though. Like, I mean, like, there's been tons of players that have ugly shots that go in. Like, you know, Reggie Miller, you know, he's known as one of the marksmen of the NBA history, and he had an ugly shot, you know. So
yeah.
I was thinking more like Sean Marion, but whatever.
Oh, Chad. Lord. I used to play games of horse.
Not a marksman.
Shoot like Sean Marion.
Yeah. For real?
Oh, yeah. I got pretty good at it for a while.
Oh, Lord.
Jerry, who you got for number five?
I have AJ Griffin there. He really, yeah, got me amped up during the tournament. I like what he does.
Really?
Yeah.
The tournament gave me pause. That's what I was about to say. He shot great throughout the year.
I think his motor and, like, a lot of the decisions that he made, it wasn't necessarily his shooting, but
he's affecting the game other ways.
Yeah, like, I love his defensive hustle. He's got a lot to like. A lot to like, and I think you can fix some of those things once you get to the league. So,
yeah, Moles, you got him number five. You got somebody else?
No, I got Griffin number five. All right, it was close with number six.
All right, yeah, my number six, and this is a big if. There's a caveat.
Hey, I didn't get to say my number five.
Oh, I'm sorry, I passed you up. Go ahead.
My number five is actually Shaden Sharpe.
All right, yeah. Well, that's
my number six. Ooh, beat us to the punch. Okay.
You
have Ivy
stole my thunder.
So you have Ivy at highest is seven, right?
No, he's my six.
Oh, you jerk! You just hoed me.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to whore you, but okay.
All right, yeah, but no, yeah, Shaden Sharpe's my six. That's if he declares and if he stays in the draft. I talked about this with Dolan last week, you know, how I think they're really going to put the full court press on trying to get Sharpe coming back. Apparently, he's liking TikTok comments saying he's coming back. Apparently, his parents are still adamant he's coming back. So, like, it's very much like 50-50. Like, I get the logic and the reasoning for him going into the draft, and I wouldn't blame him if he did. But I'm just saying there's a lot of signs pointing to him coming back. I think there's a role for him to come back, a hole for him to come back, like, positionally. And I think that, for lack, like, you know, not just saying it, like, Cal needs him to come back.
like my thing is, I mean, it doesn't really matter about Cal. Like,
yeah, no. No,
like, I'm literally, yeah, all he has to do is ask Brandon Boston, about whether he should stay or whether he should go. And if he has the opportunity to go ahead and get, you know, a top five pick now, well, hell, go, man. Like, there's no point in staying in college and getting NIL money if you can make, you know, 10 times that your rookie season.
And that's one season closer to getting your second contract, which is the big one, right?
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, like, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying, Dylan. Like, I know your hope is that he does, you know, come back to UK. But man, I mean, it's not looking too pretty as far as, like, you know, your risk reward type thing.
No, I get it, and I said that, like, even like when it first came out, like, if it was me, I would, like, put my name in the draft. But, like, based on everything that's been said, reported about it, like, people around him, Cal, him, like, this, they're very adamant, like, this has been the plan. Again, like I told Dolan, that was before we got first rounded by a 15 seed. So, you know, things change. Yeah. It's definitely possible. But like he said, you know, people scoff at it, but he said, I don't care where I get drafted. I want to make sure I'm ready when I get to the NBA. I don't want to, you know, go into a crappy situation or go in there and get myself over my head. Like, he trusts Calipari's ability to get people ready for the NBA. And so that's what he wants to do. So, but that being said, you know,
I think his best bet would be to go into, like, the combine without an agent.
Or test the waters.
See what teams tell you. Yeah, yeah, test the waters and then, you know, make your decision from there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, if he declares and stays in the draft, because I know as soon as, like, it's announced, like, as soon as Jonathan Givony or Woj or whoever says Shaedon Sharpe is entering his name in the draft, like, people are going to start tweeting at me, just laughing at me. Like, that's the key. Like, if he doesn't sign an agent, there's still room for him to come back. So, like, it's a two-part process. But this is about Kentucky. It's about the draft. And I think that Shaedon Sharpe, it's a twofold approach. Like, one, like, he has potential to be the best player in the draft, like, based on, you know, what scouts have said, and based on, you know, his measurements, his athletics, his shooting ability, like, all those things, like, he could be the best player in the draft. Also, you know, he hasn't played, you know, competitive basketball at that point for, you know, a calendar year. So he could be rusty. He could, you know, not be ready, like I said. And he could set you back a little bit in terms of, you know, the winning category, and he can, you know, make it easier for you to tank if he's the guy.
Exactly, which is not bad for 2023.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Like, so, yeah, I like Sharpe. And, hey, I know Shea's in Sharpe's camp because whenever he committed, he's, you know, he tweeted out, he said, another Canadian guard going to UK who goes by Shea. Where have I heard this before? So, yeah, there you go. I like it. Give me Shea squared, you know, if it happens. So, Jerry and Mole, sorry I went on that that kick on Shaedon Sharpe. Do you all also have him at six, or you got somebody else?
No, I got somebody else just because I had to make a switch after just hearing all that about him and the kids never even played a college basketball game.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah, Jalen Duren. And this is more of a fit for us, you know, in case what happens next year, you know, what the team accomplishes next year. This is more of a right now move that can help us out. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Jalen there.
Yep, I respect it. I, you know, full disclosure, you know, we're only going to eight, but I have him at number nine. He's my number nine on this. You know, fit-wise, I mean, it's pretty obvious how he fits. Potential, I think he's got high potential. It's just, and the, I mean, really the next four guys above Duren for me are, you know, they're wing positions. They're positions that are more coveted in the NBA. Like, you could get a serviceable big, as we've seen, Jalen Hort, Isaiah Roby, Olivier Sarr. You can get a serviceable big in the NBA to, you know, go out there and do some work. But, you know, the wings are harder to find. So that's why I have him. But I respect the Duren pick. I like Duren. If we ended up with Duren, I'd be all right with it. So that's what I got to say there. I guess, well, before we move on to number seven, does anybody else have Duren in their top eight?
Duren was in my top eight. I had Sharpe as six. So, yeah, we're moving right along.
All right. Alex, what'd you say? I'm sorry.
I had him at seven.
Seven. Okay. There you go. Well, hey, moving on to seven. This is where I got Benedict Mathurin. Jerry, who'd you have at 7?
I'm going to end up going with Shade on there.
It's Shaden, but okay. I respect it.
Shadon.
Shadon. Well, I mean, yeah. If he gets drafted by us, Chris Fisher's going to call him Shadon Sharp.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Chris Fisher's going to say Shaiden. Shaiden. Sharpie. Shaiden Sharpie. All right.
Come on, partner.
Partner, I had a Sharpie one time at a game. And...
Yo, Flex as the highlighter, I have the Sharpie. Go ahead.
I signed a ball at my church league with a Sharpie. So 6 I had Sharp, and I got Keegan Murray at 7.
Okay. Yep. And
Alex, and the reason is,
oh, go ahead.
I know that you look at him and he's like, yeah, he's a sophomore, but he's like an old sophomore. I don't think that necessarily matters with where we're at right now. I'm not necessarily saying like just go Obi Toppin and not care at all, but like what Murray would be able to allow us to have like as a consolation prize there, as a fit, being able to play the 4, I think makes a lot of sense. He's got good range. He's just a bucket. And he always seems to be in the right spot. He played in a really tough conference, a very competitive conference. And I think, you know, you could do a lot worse than him in that spot. I get the Duren fit. I've got Duren 1 pick after talking about it. But, like, I think that spacing matters a lot, especially with as much as Shea likes to penetrate the lane. And, you know, he's amongst the highest in the NBA in drive rate. So having somebody that can space the floor as a big is critical to us. And I'm not scared off by the age. So I think he gives us a lot that we need on the floor, at least offensively. He does have some limitations defensively, but his per game, 1.9 blocks, 1.3 steals. He's still, you know, very, very involved there. I don't know that he can anchor a defense, but maybe he's not as big of a liability there either. So I like it. I think that's a solid pick for us. And I think that people are going to overblow his age a lot before the draft process is over.
Yeah, so I had Murray at number 8. Alex, Jerry. Okay, so Jerry had him at 8. Alex, what about you?
Yep, me also.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and talk about this because Albert Gim, who is the co-host of the Draft That podcast with Corey Tolba, you know, friend of the pod, on No Ceilings Network, they're both actually supposed to be coming on the pod. They're supposed to work out a date with me on that, but No Ceilings released their mock draft, and for the Oklahoma City Thunder, you know, at the 4 spot where we sit now, Albert picked Keegan Murray at number 4. And he said, this pick may be controversial to some, but I love this pick. With all the exciting playmaking and shot creation you get from Gideon SGA, I thought this team could really use an exciting third option. Murray's type to wow you with the mundane because he's so good at it. Sometimes in life, the simple things are most beautiful. Murray is going to complement their backcourt with a really smart floor game. He's going to do all the little things and even offer a little bit of secondary or tertiary offensive option. I believe Murray is only going to get better as a shooter now that he's going to be doing a ton of it off the catch. His defense, which is already good in my eyes, will only get better as he fills out his frame. Adding a no-nonsense 6'8 wing who can dribble, pass, and shoot is always a good idea. Taking Murray at 4 is only too high if you're not able to see the potential ceiling. You know we're good at that here. So. He gives good reasoning. It makes a lot of sense. You know, specifically he said guys that can dribble, pass, and shoot. You know, I've talked about a lot how, you know, we've strayed away from the length, defense, and athleticism and dribble or and more to the, you know, dribble, pass, shoot, basketball IQ type of guy. So he fits the archetype of the Presti pick. He would be a type that many consider rich, just like reach, just like Josh Giddey did. So, you know, it wouldn't be the craziest thing. I like it. You know, I think that he would be a fun player, you know, if he came here, and I think his fit with Shea and Giddey, you know, like you said, it's seamless. So, I like Keegan Murray. He's my number 8. So I just want to ask you guys, because, you know, like I said, I have Mathurin number 7, obviously he's higher than anybody else. Did anybody else have Mathurin top 10, anything like that?
Yeah, he's number 9 on my list.
Number 9. Moles.
Yeah, he's sitting at 9 for me as well.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. I just want to say, I think Mathurin would be a great fit too, because, you know, he did a lot of his damage on the ball in Arizona, but specifically in the tournament, he really showed his potential as a cutter. He reminded me, like, I think he could really slide into not his role specifically, but like his archetype and how he plays on the floor. Like Aaron Wiggins, how he plays, like how he does, runs a lot of off ball cuts, backdoor, and, you know, he can still splash out and knock down the three. He still does a little bit on ball, and he's, you know, he's got that potential, the length, the body, the frame, the mentality to be a defender. So I really liked what I saw of Mathurin in the tournament, specifically in the Texas Christian game, when he was just showing his whole bag, you know, the step back threes, getting into the lane, finishing in traffic.
Is that the game that him and Coloco went off?
Yeah. They both had crazy games. Yeah. And he had the dunk of the tournament in that game too. So yeah, I love Mathurin. I think that he's a really fun player, and I think despite his position, I think he could fit really well alongside our guards.
Yeah, that was a fun game. That definitely made me ooh, you know, should he bump up? But, you know, he still stays at nine for me, which isn't bad. I mean, where he started in the season.
Yeah, and it's important to note, you know, like, we do many big boards throughout the draft process. Like, this is very fluid. Like, you know, these aren't fixed ratings. This is just where we're at right now in our evaluation process. As we talk to Corey, Albert, Nathan, Keandre, you know, all these draft heads, like, you know, we're going to start to form our own opinion. We become more informed with that. So, you know, this is just kind of a snapshot in what we're thinking as the season's about to end. But, boys, like I said, you know, 15 spot is where our Clippers pick is right now. Who's the player that you're looking at in that range? I guess for me, I'm just going to go straight to number 15, because the other guys I kind of feel like is a reach or won't be there. I would love it if Durin or Tyree Eason fell to 15, but I just don't think they will. So my 15 spot is Mark Williams. I just think that he, you know, he provides a lot in terms of defense and rim running big, like, you know, so many people were obsessed with, but he showed a lot of flashes of like high basketball IQ in the tournament. He was kind of, you know, the straw that stirred the drink for Duke. You know, Paolo did his thing offensively, but Mark Williams was definitely their defensive anchor. So I like him here. Jerry, what about you?
See, I want Tari there. Man, it depends. No,
if Tari's at 15, I want him.
Yeah. But I also, like, I'm very high on Mark Williams just for the reasons that you just said. Like, dudes, he's just a bruiser. Mm-hmm. Like, he just gets the job done. So let's just say we didn't get Jalen, you know, somewhere in the top eight or wherever we end up at. Mark Williams would definitely be my next pick right in that range if we didn't already have a center. Love the guy.
All right. What about you, Moles?
So kind of in that range, you're looking for guys that can fill out, guys that can play a role. I don't know if he's coming out. But Jeremy Sochan from Baylor, his versatility on the wing, and he's got a lot of room to fill out. 6'9", 230. I mean, that's – and he's good in transition. That Baylor scheme was just really, really dominant on the defensive end. I think he would give us some chops there too. So I know he's not a prolific scorer. I know that kind of – falls into Presti's old archetype, but I think that he would be able to give us some versatility that we definitely need in our front court. So at 15, you're kind of, you know, throwing darts anyway. I think that guy could have a rotational spot for years to come, and that's about all we can ask for at the back end of the lottery and the front end of the non-lottery. So in that range, you could do a lot worse than him.
Yeah, I just want to go on record and say, like, you know, I know a lot of people have their opinion on Sochan specifically, but I'm going to be lower than anybody else on the pod, on the Baylor guys. I don't see it with them. I don't like their fit with this team. I question. I like Sochan more than Kendall Brown, which, you know, the draft boards have kind of corrected themselves on their rankings of them. But I don't see it with them personally right now. But
I haven't been able to trust a Baylor guy since Perry Jones III.
Yeah.
Hey, he was a good one. He was a fun one. Alex, what about you, man? Round it out. Who would be your guy at 15?
So I'm gonna go a little bit off the beaten path. I think 15 could be somewhere that Sam Presti tried to, you know, take a swing.
I know where this is going.
And he recently made a trip over to Australia. And so a guy named Usman Jiang is a guy that many people, like draft heads, are like all over the place on him. He's a guy, he's 6'9", 7-foot wingspan, extremely long wing. He can't shoot yet, but he has a fluidity to his game that maybe allows him to develop that. He's extremely young. And so I think, you know, if he's swinging for the fences on this one, I think he might take somebody like Usman Jiang.
Okay. Yeah. I like Usman Jiang. I will say KOC, he released, you know, the Ringer draft guide early in the week, and he had OKC taking Usman Jiang at the number 15 pick.
Did he really? I didn't even know that.
Yeah, he did. I remember I screenshotted. I went and looked at it, but he had us taking Shaedon Sharpe at number 6 as well, but that's besides the point. But I always kind of thought that he would fall a little bit later in the draft, but, you know, if that's a guy that Presti identifies and he wants to take a swing, I'm all for it. I have no reason not to trust the guy after he basically batted 1,000 in the draft last year. So, we're going to live up to what our shirt says and trust the Presti. Something I could see him doing, and, you know, there's kind of conflicting on where this guy could be drafted. You know, the Ringer had him at 30 in their mock draft. I've seen him low first round in a lot of other mock drafts, but the No Ceilings, in their mock draft, I think they had us taking Patrick Baldwin Jr. at number 15. If you're talking about a swing, that's a swing. 6'10 guy, you know, like picture perfect shooting stroke. But, you know, I talked about Dolan last week, you know, went and played with his dad at a little known school in a terrible conference. They sent all 5 guys at him at all time. He had no talent around him, no spacing. Nothing. Like, he only played, I think, in 11 or 12 games, played terribly in those games, and, you know, he was hurt the rest of the year. So I think it would be beneficial for Patrick Baldwin Jr. to come back another year, maybe enter the transfer portal, go to another program, maybe a Kentucky Wildcats, I'm just saying, build back a draft stock. But if he was a standard draft, I wouldn't blame him, obviously. But I think that, you know, if you're taking a swing at 15, like you're saying, you know, you don't want to go positionally need, like, you know, for a big man, I wouldn't be mad at taking a shot at Patrick Baldwin Jr. if you've identified him as a guy, you know, that you're high on. So
yeah.
I like that mindset.
A lot of these mocks that I'm seeing have him around our 30th pick.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, lends the question, because we're probably not, we're certainly not bringing 4 rookies into the fold this year, and we likely aren't bringing 3, right? You got to think some consolidation is going to happen.
I would think 3. I would think 3, if anything.
Yeah.
I mean, we brought in 4 this year.
We did.
I mean,
some heads are going to roll.
That's us not exercising team options on a lot of guys. Now, I could probably see Roby gone and stuff like that, but, man, that's – I mean, team – I don't know. But I'm just saying, like, you got to, like, get rid of some
14 people. Other heads to cut off except for Roby. Like, I don't – what's up with
this? But we have a team option. We have a team option. There's a natural
– Oh, okay, okay. Never mind. I see where your logic's at. I'm sorry. I just heard Roby slander and jumped off the
– It's no slander, man. Shaquille O'Neal with a jump shot. I feel you. But
– Thank you.
We're probably consolidating. I would be willing to say, unless this Clippers pick ends up in the play-in and then they miss and then something happens – we're probably consolidating the Clippers pick and the Suns pick to move up, right?
Possibly.
It's possible.
Really, really high chance there, man.
Yeah, you're moving up a spot, maybe two.
But best. A lot of
I honestly think consolidation is going to occur with it's going to occur with 30 and 34, maybe to move up to about 26, 27. If there's a player we want up there,
maybe that's how you get Patrick Baldwin Jr.
Yeah, there you go.
Maybe, yeah, possibly.
What's up, guys? This is Dylan from the future at a First Watch, actually. So we actually went a really long time on this pod. It ended up being about 2 hours after we did our Twitter questions and stuff. So what we're going to go ahead and do is we're going to break this up in two pods. So, you know, double the content for you guys, and no pressure to listen to them, you know, all the way back to that. So this first one is going to be releasing today, assuming you're listening on Friday when it went out. And the Twitter questions and conversation about Ty Washington is going to be released on Sunday. So, yeah, just a little explanation there. Again, I want to thank you all for listening. Thank you all for the support. Hope you all have a great day. God bless. And don't forget, Thunder up.
Thank you for listening to the Topic Thunder podcast. Our podcast is available to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play, or anywhere else you listen to your podcast. Be sure to leave us a 5-star rating and a positive review, and follow us on Twitter at OKC Topic Thunder.
Thunder up!
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.